Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Back, always great to say hello to you for the second hour of our program. We mentioned this briefly during hour number one. Michigan, with two straight CFP appearances, two Big Ten titles, has become a big topic of conversation as we get ready for the third year. And there is a interesting note out that instead of we want Bama, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to have a beat Georgia period added to practice. Nobody better to talk about than all things Michigan than the czar of Michigan football, John Bacon, the New York Times bestselling author. A lot happening in John's life. And John, it's been a long time since we've talked. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
I saw you. I read a couple weeks ago. You got another book in the works, and you're constantly staying busy. You got Let Them Lead. This is something that talks about leadership. I also saw where you're doing a book on, did I read this correctly? The crash of, or the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Incredibly, you did read that correctly, Paul. So it's obviously a change of gears. Let Them Lead is about Coach Mayo's high school hockey team, unexpected lessons in leadership from America's worst high school hockey team. And as you know, Paul, I can prove that empirically. I was also the worst player in school history, which I can also prove. But that one's still selling quite well, and we're working on a screenplay with Jim Bernstein, who did Mighty Ducks 3, among others. So that's been fun. And, yes, the next book is on the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which will come out in 2 years. So clearly shifting gears, but still covering a lot of college football alongside Paul Feinbaum.
Well, I guess there's no Gordon Lightfoot to interview anymore, but hopefully you've gotten to him already.
I got to his family, at least. I did not get to him. I tried. Okay. And so there you go.
Well, let's talk about Michigan football away from all that. And it's pretty amazing to think about the conversation 3 years ago. And to your credit, while there were some out there wondering about Jim Harbaugh's future, you were steadfast, disappointed in what you had seen, but hopeful and resilient. What has changed up there?
Oh, the biggest change. And look, I mean, when they're 2-4, and they just lost to Michigan State at home. Granted, it's the COVID year, but so what? Football is still the football. That was almost certainly the worst loss of Harbaugh's entire career at any level, whether it's San Diego or the 49ers, you name it. That was just a horrible loss, and they're 2-4. And many thought Ward Manuel, the AD, was not going to bring Jim back, and a lot of folks would have supported that. I think if you did a poll of Michigan fans, I don't know if Jim would have won that 2.5 years ago. The biggest change between here and there, he swapped out 6 of his 10 assistant coaches. That is a big boy bet right there. And amazingly, it worked almost immediately, and he didn't have any more time than that. He had a 1-year contract, essentially. So that's the biggest change. He hired a lot of young guys who connect well with the players, and clearly it's worked out very well. So that's the biggest change.
John, I know the quarterback situation has calmed down in a very positive way, but what else can you tell us in relation to why Michigan is getting so much love here in the preseason?
Well, they won the Joe Moore Trophy 2 years in a row for the best offensive line in the country, and that gets your attention. And a lot of those guys are coming back. They've got two of the best tailbacks in the country, and that's Donovan Edwards, and before him is Blake Corum, who might have been a Heisman Trophy finalist if he hadn't been injured and missed basically the entirety of the Ohio State game there at the end. So if you had to point to two things right away, that's it. A lot of guys coming back. Michigan has been behind, pretty far behind in my opinion, on the NIL front, but they're finally catching up, so you can keep players like that now. Those have been the big differences. J.J. McCarthy was good last year, 22 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. But with those tailbacks in that front line, of course, he had a lot of protection. So this year, more will be expected of him.
I was doing an interview, John, earlier today with ESPN Radio, and the host asked me a question, which I thought I said, shouldn't you be asking us about Jim Harbaugh? But then again, I forgot a couple of years had have passed. And he said, if Ryan Day loses this year to Jim Harbaugh, will he be on the hot seat? And it's just amazing when you juxtapose that moment to where we were a couple of years ago.
And not just a couple of years ago. I mean, let's look at the whole doggone century. It's now in its 23rd year. It's no younger than we are, Paul. So it's not a young century, and Michigan has won three games until the last 2 years during that stretch. Maybe two games, if I'm even doing the math right. Just complete domination like the rivalry had never seen in the previous century. And that's obviously Tressel, it's Urban Meyer, and now it's Ryan Day. And, you know, if they didn't play Ohio State, Michigan didn't play Ohio State in 2000 during the COVID year, does anybody here want to bet on Michigan in that game? Because they already lost to Michigan State. So, no, that's almost certainly going to be a loss, too. And yet, you're right, 2 years later, and part of that is due to the insanity of Ohio State that has fired every single coach since World War II, many of them Hall of Famers, like Woody Hayes, like Earl Bruce, like John Cooper, and so on. Every single coach except for Urban Meyer during that stretch. Ryan Day, it does not make sense. It is irrational. The man's had phenomenal success throughout his career so far at Ohio State. And yet, if he loses to Michigan 3 years in a row, Ohio State fans, administration, and so on, they're not going to wait for a 2-10-1 John Cooper to develop. They will not be patient. So he will have the hot seat. It's irrational. It's crazy. He's a hell of a coach. But that is the reality.
John Bacon with us. John, we haven't had too many opportunities to talk since a year ago this week when the Big Ten got bigger, adding USC and UCLA. You've watched a lot. You've seen Nebraska come in, even though some are still wondering about that one. Penn State, obviously, and then I keep forgetting who the other ones were. It seems like my memory is that Rutgers and Maryland have also joined, although
yeah.
Haven't seen much evidence of that. What do you make out of where this league is going with, especially USC coming in?
Well, look, right now it's the SEC and everybody else, and Big Ten is part of everyone else. And its challenge is to not be the Pac-12, to not be the ACC or the Big 12. And by getting USC and to some degree UCLA, but USC is clearly the gem in that batch, it allows them to compete with TV contracts and perhaps on the field. SEC has still dominated, obviously, all the national title games. But it makes it at least a two-conference race, if you will. Of course, I'll give the Big Ten this much credit, Paul. It made no organic sense to add Maryland or Rutgers. It makes less organic sense to add UCLA or USC. No one even tried to give lip service to the idea that this in any way benefits student-athletes, the academic power of the Big Ten, or anything else. It's strictly a TV money grab, and they grabbed it. So now they're in enough position, I think, to keep Greg Sankey honest and at least have a peer in the SEC business-wise, if not national title-wise.
John, finally on that subject, and I'm speaking of NIL, where currently dominates all the headlines in college athletics. We understand the South. We understand even Ohio State. But from a distance, it would just seem like Michigan would struggle to adapt to that model because of the strength of that university from an academic standpoint, a research standpoint. How has Michigan been able to stay successful in this current NIL world?
Great question, and part of it, frankly, is luck. They have not had the NIL pull 2-3 years ago when they started getting these classes in. And the guys have, for the most part, not gotten injured. The depth is not at the same level of Georgia or Alabama, not even close, in my opinion. So you can't lose that top layer. You just can't. Now Harbaugh has grown tired, I believe, of waiting for AD Ward Manuel to get more serious about the NIL. The other coaches at Michigan have been grumbling with increasing volume about this, and Juwan Howard, the basketball coach, just lost his center, Hunter Dickinson, to Kansas entirely due to NIL. So that's what's happening in basketball and other sports at Michigan. And the coaches are getting frustrated. Jim took the deal into his own hands. He did a tour about 2 weeks ago around the country raising NIL money, and if you're going to go out there and shake the hands yourself and meet the donors yourself, you're probably going to raise the money, and that's what he's doing.
Great stuff. John Bacon, always a must conversation as we close in on the upcoming season. John Bacon joining us, the New York Times bestselling author. We take a short break. More of your phone calls around the corner. Phil Steele will join us in the next hour to preview the season. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Because up next in Houston as we continue on. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Man, what a fiery start to the show today, huh?
It was unexpected.
Hey, so absolutely want to say congratulations to the LSU Tigers. So proud of the young men that they won the championship. But hey, you know what I wanted to touch on is Jim keeps going on about legend hasn't paid for his sins and yada 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 among all the other vile stuff that the man spews. Let me tell you something, Jim. None of us have paid for our sins. None of us are able to pay for our sins. The only way that our sins have been paid for is by the blood of Christ and the grace of God. And that's that. And, Paul, have you ever heard the old song, Would They Love Him Down in Shreveport Today?
No.
It's an old gospel song. You can look it up. But the gist of it is that if Jesus Christ came through your town and, you know, did the things that Christ did, would people love him or would they reject him? And I honestly believe that Jim in Tuscaloosa would reject Jesus Christ if he walked this earth right now, because the man seems to me has nothing but hatred in his heart for almost everybody except himself.
Well, I have no way of knowing. I do know this. One day we had Archbishop Marino on from the Vatican, and Jim tried to correct him on canon law, which is something that he is a world-renowned expert on and once worked right outside the office of the Holy Father.
Now, that just speaks to his whole personality disorder. Well, Paul, hey, I just wanted to congratulate the Tigers. And I hope the rest of your day gets better.
Thank you. It's worth your call has helped me make the important turn. Doug is in Tulsa. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, great, Paul. I'm just now tuning in, so I must have missed some fireworks. But I got a couple of things. So if we've already been touched on, I apologize. One, has any Florida fans? I'm sorry. Excuse me. Scratch that. Has any LSU fans called in yet and apologized to the Florida fans for running up the score?
Not yet.
Well, there needs to be an apology because they were so upset about it last night when Florida ran up the score. So I'm very disappointed. I need to hear an apology. All right. Second of all, Paul, you're a journalist, right? I mean, you've done journalism a long time, and your journalistic skills outed Jimmy from Tuscaloosa yesterday. I don't know if you realize that, but you kind of outed him out as soon as he mentioned AAA baseball contract. You got on that quick and started questioning him, and as soon as you started questioning about that, man, he got so defensive and started not really backtracking, but being defensive and being angry, and then another call called in a question about it, and he called back and started screaming at that guy, and I mean, come on,
Doug, one thing that I will that I'll offer in practicing journalism for many, many years, the thing that you become acutely in tune with are liars. Because a lot of people, and there are certain ways to out a lawyer. And by the way, this is no great skill. I mean, I'm not going to be in the Journalism Hall of Fame for offering this. You could get a first-year student that would understand the same thing. But number one, when you say something like he did, all you need to, he said the Phillies and the Dodgers. He did say that he didn't play college ball because he didn't like the aluminum bat. I don't know about that. He didn't tell me some of the basics. What do you learn in reporting? Who, what, when, where, how? Okay, he told us the who. This was the Phillies and the Dodgers. He didn't tell us where. Well, I guess he did. It was in Tuscaloosa. He didn't tell us when. That's the most critical factor.
Right.
It was a couple of years after he finished high school. If he had said in 1987, and the general manager of the L.A. Dodgers was Al Campanis, and he didn't tell us any of that because there's a specific reason why he has never used a date in anything. Have you noticed that? He tells us when he was a kid and he saw this, but he doesn't say in 19 whatever because he's been lying about his age ever since he started calling here. So therefore, he can't tell us the year. Yeah, everyone here knows when they got out of high school, knows when they got out of junior college or trade school or college. Those are very easy things to remember. I may not remember, what color my jacket was at the high school prom, although I can. But you can't expect anyone to believe anything if you never give us a specific. And he never tells us anything. He didn't tell us, he played on this great American Legion team. He didn't tell us when, where, who the manager, because, and you know why, don't you? Because you could anybody out there could verify that most of what he has said is a complete and total lie.
Right. And Paul, you need to teach journalism in college because this is seriously lacking in our society nowadays.
You know something, Doug?
I mean, my goodness.
In full disclosure, I've had opportunities, and I don't think I could do it because I don't think there's an appetite for it anymore.
No, I don't think so. It's sad. On all fronts, both sides too, mind you, no matter what side you're on, it's bad out there. But hey, I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day and be blessed.
Thank you very much, Doug. And back to Jim, do you realize how easy it would be? All he has to, he's in Tuscaloosa. It's not that big of a town. Someone would remember him being a great baseball player, wouldn't they? Someone? I mean, if he was in Ted Williams' category, I mean, I remember interviewing some of the guys that played with Willie Mays in the 40s and 50s, and they're still talking about some of the guys that came through there. That was, 75 years ago? I mean, if Jim played 25 years ago, wouldn't somebody remember it? I think I might, considering I was working in the community. I would have heard about this phenom, would I have not? Probably would have gone down to interview him. Darren is up next. Hello, Darren.
Hi, Paul. Man, last time I talked to you, and this, I've got three things I want to ask you or talk to you about real quick. I won't hold you up too long.
Sure.
Last time I spoke with you, there was a LSU fan, obviously, who got on the phone. This was way before a pitch was even thrown in college baseball. And that guy predicted, and he was like, forget Florida, forget everybody. And I was listening to him, I was like, man, it ain't even started yet. And I thought, well, okay. But I don't know if you remember, you probably won't remember which fan did it, unless he called yesterday, or he may already call today, because I only caught it. I caught the tirade that you had to listen to, which I was like, oh, man, not again. But anyway, that happens quite a lot to you, Paul. But, hey, congratulations to LSU baseball. Cool, whatever. All this other stuff about sportsmanship and this, that, and the other, well, I don't know. That's just kind of – that's for all of them to sort out. The second thing I wanted to say about is, like, either way you look at it, Jim and Legend, they both of them, from what I heard, they were talking about biblical, religious kind of stuff. And that's great because, you know, how you believe, how everybody believes, that's their own privileges and how they do. And I don't have a problem with that. But I think when we're talking about sports, I mean, come on, Paul, you don't need to be bringing in, you know, God, Jesus, and the devil, and you're a disciple or a, well, I can't even remember what he said, but you know what he said. I mean, there's no place in a show like what you do, which is great, by the way, but people want to watch your show to hear maybe a little bit of humor or banter between people, but not when you start getting all serious like that. And that, to me, that's just two men that, well, they obviously have issues with each other, regardless of whatever their reasons are, but it don't really have a place. But there again, you being the type person in your show, you'll let people have a go at each other like that, and I get it. I understand. And then lastly, I'm going to be like that LSU fan for baseball was, and I know you probably ain't going to sit right with you, but I'm going to say it. I predict Alabama will win the national championship this year, and they will go undefeated. Don't know what you think on that. Like to hear your thoughts, but I just wanted to call in and tell you you had another tough day, boss, and I feel for you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your call and your prediction. We head to the break. More to come right after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Alan is up next in Ohio. Good afternoon. Hello, Alan.
Good afternoon, Paul. Glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
The first question I really have, because I've listened to a lot of the guys call in, is I know when you go home, you must take a boatload of antacids. What color are they? Are they crimson or scarlet? Or if you just want to say red, that's fine.
They're crimson. How did you know?
Well, you wouldn't be a team member for your team if you didn't speak that way.
They're officially licensed Nick Saban Tums.
Oh, wow. Maybe you can send me a free badge.
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to.
Anyway, I've been listening to all this and all these fans. I remember us losing a quarterback because we didn't treat him right. He always seemed like a loner on the sidelines. He never seemed really mixed with the other kids much. And he went to LSU. And you know who I'm talking about.
Of course.
And anyway, these young men, the battle is determined on the field by these young men. And the fans should quit acting like they have something to do with the game. It's these young people, both on your teams and our teams. And give them the due that they deserve. Back them. Support them. You've got good kids on your team, and people need to support them, just like they have good kids on LSU and any other team. I just wish fans would understand their real role, not to criticize, but to support their teams. And I hope to God that Ohio State and the Crimson will get to meet this year on the field. It's always been a fun game for me, and I'm sure it's been a fun game for you folks. But let's put the game where it belongs, in the hands of the kids. Recognize that, support them. Quit browbeating them and beating them to death and saying things that you want to control. Nobody controls it but those young men on the field. And it's about time we start giving them their just dues and quit creating problems for them and causing a lot of, I don't even know how to describe it, the pain and suffering that they have to go through when somebody says something detrimental, whether it's a member of your team or Ohio State. It's wrong. We shouldn't do that. These young men have something to look forward in their life, and I just hope that they have a great experience on both teams and understand what the sport is really about.
Thank you very much. Danette is up next in Louisiana. Good afternoon, Danette.
Hello, Mr. Paul. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
With me. My boy's about shot after all that hooping and hollering last night. First thing I want to do is apologize for all those LSU fans that called in the other day crying. That probably was all your associates.
Probably was.
But, yeah, you know how he likes to throw his own team under the table. Well, Legend took care of him for me. So, I had a couple of things. We're going to go to Nick. All I got to say is, what do you have to say now, Nick? Seven. You need me to sing you some Kleenex? Thank you, Mr. Paul, and go Tigers.
Let the good times roll. Thank you very, very much. Mike is in Virginia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well.
Yeah, and you know, everybody calls in on the show, calling Coach Saban, Nick this, Nick that. They need to show that man some respect. It's either Mr. Saban or Coach Saban. That's not what I'm calling for. I did some research when Jim went on his tirade and all. Only in the history of baseball, the draft as we know it since 1965, there's only been 23 players that were good enough to go straight from high school to the major leagues. He must have been one heck of a player.
Well, but you have to remember, he took some time off.
Yeah, and that even makes it a whole lot.
I remember when I was coming, Bob Horner did it. He played at Arizona State, I think, and then went straight to the Braves. I know a couple of other people have done it. Yeah. But now, in your research, Mike, are you certain, beyond a reasonable doubt, that you didn't see Jim's name?
Well, you know, that brings you to the second thing.
Okay.
So a couple other players that I remember going was Dave Winfield and Al Kaline, Detroit, and when Winfield was San Diego.
Sure, right.
But I even went to the Dodgers and Phillies going back in the 70s, just looking for people to name Jim, and I couldn't find anything.
Well, you're probably going too far back, because in the 70s, that would put Jim about 78 right now, and we know he's not that old.
Yeah, but I don't understand where he thinks everybody's going to believe all this, but you know, you can't get nothing by legend.
Well, if you study psychology, Mike, there are people, and there's a name for it, and I'd rather not use it because it's fairly commonly used in psychological and psychiatric evaluations, but there are people who do believe what they say, even though it is simply unreal or unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I remember years ago when I was a kid, I told people so many times I had a horse. Hell, I went out and bought a saddle. You know, but anyway, enjoy your show and go Crimson Tide.
Well, you got it, Mike. Thank you for checking in. Let's check out Sean, who is in Iowa. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing today, Paul?
Okay, thank you.
First off, go Tigers. Heck of a win, heck of a series, heck of a College World Series overall. But I remember distinctly last Friday, there's a particular lawyer from New Orleans that he just didn't want to eat the crow that I think he deserves to eat, especially after LSU pulled off that that natty. So I'll sit patiently and see if Augie, excuse me, I had to clear my throat there, is going to fess up to all the hate he's been slinging, even though he's a Tiger fan. But then secondly, kind of a random question for you. What does your typical workday look like? Like, are you done after the show? Do you do a lot of research before the show? I've always been curious what your typical...
I think out of season, it's a little bit different. In season, it starts much earlier because there are other shows going on. But this time of the year, it's mainly everything is geared to the beginning of the show. And I'm a big reader, so I'm... You know, whether it's germane or not, I'm probably reading a thousand different things every day just in case there is something that we haven't thought about.
Totally understand. Oh, and there was one other, I think there was a gentleman that went to Alabama and lives in Florida. I think he called in yesterday as well.
All right.
I hope he's enjoying his day today.
Yeah. He's the one that... clearly insulted everyone living in Louisiana. His state was better than your state. Let's check in with George, who is up next in Louisiana. Hello, George.
Hello, Paul. Look, I think Florida's got a great team. I think LSU's got a great team. But Nick, I don't know if he really knows anything about baseball. I mean, he talked about the fans of LSU being the most backward people he knows. Then he talks about the LSU players being plump. I don't think you should ever down another team's players. And then he said that Florida was going to win it. Now, I'm one of them Louisiana backward country boys. Now, if Nick would like to come over to West Monroe. Mm. I'm cooking some crow pie, and he'd be more glad to eat some of it with me.
And I would imagine over in Monroe, the crow pie is well done.
It's very good. We can make cardboard taste good.
I lived not too far from you up in northwest Louisiana, so I know Monroe pretty well.
Okay, well. You know, it's the best two out of three. It was the best two out of three in the whole SEC conference. And Florida lost to some teams that wasn't ranked. LSU lost to some teams that wasn't ranked. But LSU had to play Tennessee. They beat them twice. They played the number one team, Wake Forest. They beat them twice. And then they beat Florida twice. Go Tigers. They're number one. Florida is still number two. Yeah, go Tigers!
A happy day in Louisiana. We'll take a short break. More to come. Phil Steele, top of the hour on the upcoming football season.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back in. Colin is up next. Good afternoon, Colin.
Paul, hey, man.
Hey there.
First of all, good job, LSU. And I think it's even more important that Skeens didn't pitch, Paul. I think it just showed those boys that they are the champs. And if Skeens would have pitched and won, I think it'd be real easy to say, hey, man, you're a one-man show. Was that lost on anybody? Did you notice that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't thought about that. But, he was the best player in the country, and, that comes with the territory. But there was just simply nowhere. I'm glad they didn't play him because it
agreed,
all,
man. I think it made that team be the best team. It wasn't the best pitcher that won. It was the best team. And,
correct.
Skeens pitching and shutting another team out, I think, would have left a lot to be desired for LSU, but I think that team winning it, and I think it wasn't lost on them either. So good job, LSU. And I did want to bring up, because I'm an old listener, an old caller, did these new young bloods that listen to your show realize that Jim was better than Ted Williams?
I've tried to gently bring that story up because – If I told the audience that, it would simply overwhelm everything else that they hear from him.
Well, he said that, Paul, and that was a long time ago. But, of course, he would be bought up to AAA if he was better than Ted Williams. Ted Williams, they only got to hit 400.
Yeah.
And that's a quote from Jim. That's a quote.
Yeah, Jim, I mean, that was a bizarre conversation. And, at one point in that conversation, I think he also said that he was either better or equal to Tiger Woods in golf.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't know that. But I knew the Ted Williams quote, so I did want to put that out there for all the haters that may be doubting Jim that he was better than Ted Williams. And then last thing, speaking of old callers, what happened to Charles from Real Town?
Colin, that is a mystery with no clues right now.
Really?
He is still alive. He called in about a year ago. He just – and every time he calls in, I try to – pigeonhole him and say, well, what's the deal? And I mean, I understand in the summertime he could be out in the fields, but in the wintertime he'd have to be in early. So I don't understand what he's doing, and because he's such a great caller. And
Paul, probably the best caller you ever had that has been forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a guy.
He's a Hall of Fame caller, but eventually you have to call in. You just can't disappear. And a lot
he's
of our great callers.
Hall of Famer.
I mean, we've lost some callers, but I have it on fairly good authority that he's still above ground.
Well, man, Charles from Middletown, if you're hearing this, call back in, brother, and give him hell because you're a legend. See you, Paul.
Could be that the fact that Auburn has been under the radar has kept him from calling in. Mark is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
I was just
calling about the cat Nick down in Florida or Alabama. Where he was at several different places.
Yeah, he went to Alabama, but he lives in Florida. He's the one that insulted the entire state of Louisiana.
Well, I just wanted to say, if anybody listened to him, they lost a bundle because
he went with conventional wisdom that because of what happened Sunday, it would automatically mean that would happen on Monday.
That's one of the beautiful things about baseball. The next day is the next day in the story. Well, thanks for having my call.
Well, thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Moses is in St. Louis. Hello, Moses.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? Love your show.
Thank you.
I want to congratulate the LSU Tigers on their victory in the College World Series because That means SEC football is up next, and that's what I want to talk about. I believe that this is a pivotal year for Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz. If he doesn't come in with an 8-4 season or a hard 7-5, I predict he's going to probably be replaced. Missouri has 7 of their 12 games at home this season. They have a milquetoast early season schedule, as a lot of these teams, you know, do to get ready for the real tough part of the schedule. And to me, what's going to be key for Missouri this year is the quarterback position. And, Paul, I got to tell you, Eli Drinkwitz's recruiting has been a lot better than the previous regime, but we still let a few players get away that I felt he should have nailed down. But they have a young freshman quarterback coming from Tacoma, Washington, named Jabari Johnson. He's okay. A four-star recruit. Paul, when I saw this boy's highlight reel, I said, this boy going to Mizzou?
That's great.
He can he looked like I don't want to put no pressure on the young man. I know he's probably not listening. But I said, this looked like Bryce Young to me. He's about 6'1", 190, and Paul, he's a fine, outstanding young man. I heard him talk and speak. You know, you could tell he probably comes from a two-parent household, which today is very rare with a lot of these kids that we see. And if this guy doesn't play, he's better than anything they have on campus right now, Paul, from what I've seen on the film. Now, the key is probably going to be for him learning the offense and the playbook. But I predict Missouri's defense is going to be probably in the top tier of the SEC because they have 8 returning starters. And their defense coordinator just did an outstanding job, Blake Baker, when he took over for Steve Wilkins. But I just think that if Drinkwitz doesn't have an 8-4 season or come in at 7-5, this is going to be his last hurrah in Columbia.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right because he's been given a contract extension, which you and I know doesn't mean anything. It's just a way to recruit. And Eli is definitely the coach people are watching if he doesn't have a bigger. Hey, thanks for the call. That was fantastic. Appreciate the update. We are back. 2 more hours to go.